Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Here we are again, and we're going to start this hour with the El Paso History Moment, produced by Melissa Sargent. We know who that is.
Yes.
We do, right?
I'm here.
And you're doing this for the El Paso History Alliance. And check this out. Her history moment today is about KVIA's TV's singing weatherman.
Weatherman sings up a storm in West Texas. During the 1980s, when El Pasoans tuned into KVIA TV News, they were not only sure to get the latest breaking news, but they would also get their weather served up with a song by then KVIA weatherman meteorologist John Fawcett. Known as a singing weatherman, John would often serenade his TV audience with an original song like The Arms of El Paso. But John so loved meteorology that in 1990 he left KVIA to join the National Weather Service, or NSW. It was there that he composed his first weather song, The Sky Warm Spotter, to promote the Storm Spotter program. Everyone in his office liked the song so much, it was posted to the NWS website, where soon it was heard all over the country. He decided to write more tunes with catchy titles to help promote the fact that weather could not only be our friend, but that it also could be deadly. Some of the other weather song titles were I'm Going Under, about the danger of flash floods, Silent Killer, the signs of heat stroke, and an audience favorite was A Tornado Coming to Your Town, about tornado preparedness. John went on to re-record 4 albums of non-weather-related music, all the while with an eye to the sky, watching and keeping southern New Mexico and West Texas informed of the changes in the weather. More history next time on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
Hey, that was pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I like
that
one.
The weatherman there.
That was interesting. It was hard to find a lot of history on KVIA itself because it was mostly just advertisements, because I go through newspapers.com where I find a lot of the information for History Moments. But I also have another one that I want to talk about after this, I think would make a great history moment, too, about Rick Cabrera. And so we'll talk about that one in a little while.
Well, you've also got the History Alliance working on Facebook there.
They're way over 50,000. I checked the other day and I forgot the number now, but they've just got so many followers over that Facebook page where it's history and stories. And then give Bernie a call at 581-7920 if you want to learn about the Alliance or learn more history. And another person, of course, is Barbara Given-Bainey, who's the operator of the Facebook page called Remember an El Paso Win.
And she's got these moderators to help her out, a new guy named Bernie Sargent.
That's right.
Sergeant Bernie Sargent.
Yeah, I know.
Was he ever a sergeant?
Yes, he was.
But that was fun.
Oh, yeah, Sargent. Yeah.
So, but Ken Weiss and Paul Levy, they're also working with Barbara over there. We got Kevin back. Apparently, we lost you. You got back. That's even better. And go ahead and put these guys on the radio here. Kevin, thank you for being here. Did you work with Fawcett?
Oh, absolutely. We started within about 2 weeks of each other at KVIA.
Okay. So, and, you know, people have names that kind of part of their profession. I guess when it rains a lot, it's like a faucet.
Yeah, I know. That was, yeah.
That was so stupid. But, Rick, you probably didn't know that guy. You got here later in the 90s, right?
Well, I know John because he appeared on the morning show a handful of times to talk about the weather, and I still bump into him pre-COVID at the gym every now and then. So I'm familiar with John. He's a nice guy, very nice guy, but I never saw him on air.
He's still with the Weather Service out at Santa Teresa, El Paso Santa Teresa branch. So
he's the chief out there, and John was one of the most original KVI characters of all time, the singing weatherman, as you described, and he was one of a kind, and we still have a close connection.
Well, what was that song that you really liked? You made a remark in an El Paso Inc. article about the Arms of El Paso, or All Arms of El Paso.
Yeah, he wrote, he's written a number of songs about El Paso and the Southwest, and he has a song called The Arms of El Paso. Oh. And we actually put it in a promotional campaign on KBIA for maybe a year or so. I love the song. It just speaks to everything that is El Paso and the borderland. And it's a beautiful song, a great melody. The words are phenomenal. I mean, if you Google it, or John Fawcett has, I think it's weatherdrip.com.
Listen to that song.
It's a phenomenal song. I mean, it should be picked up. I wish it had been picked up and used by the Chamber of Commerce or the city in some capacity. It still could be. It's timeless.
It's a nice song. I did get a chance to listen to it. Oh, yeah, there it is, weatherdrip.com.
I've noticed that the city and the Chamber of Commerce and the county, they don't do a whole lot with the private sector. When the private sector comes up with a good idea, they don't do it because they didn't come up with it.
Yeah, they didn't pay an agency thousands of dollars.
Well, let me give you a good example. Texas history begins in El Paso. They could use that very nicely to promote the city in a couple of ways. Nobody tries, but we do, obviously. You guys know that. But
yes.
Anyway, I got a caller coming in here named Roy. Roy, got you on the radio. What's up, Roy?
Not too much. How you doing? I like the show.
Thank you.
I've got a comment for Kevin. I can remember when the stations, the networks, all try to get on the same channel on the locals, and local channel 7 was 13 and became channel 7, and PBS became 13 from 7.
Correct. Yeah, we switched, had a great switch in the 80s. Stanley Marsh still owned us, and channel 7 is historically identified with ABC stations in many cases around the country, like Los Angeles and other channels. So we wanted channel 7. There were some benefits. There were benefits to channel 13, the public station. So we all, at that time, we shared the same transmitter site and antenna as well. So it just made sense, and it was a great moment in KBI history.
Oh, yeah. I'm a pack rat. So what am I supposed to do with the old PBS donation prize shirt that says Channel 13?
Auction it off. Sell it on eBay.
I don't have a computer. I don't probably get much but $4 for it.
Well, who knows?
All right, take care.
Thanks a lot, Roy. You take it easy. Well, it's interesting history there. You talk about the transmitter swapping out. Kevin, were you part of the deal to move up the mountain to the current Channel 9 location?
Oh, I was fried. Yes, I had to negotiate out of our lease that we had in our old site where KCOS is, and then we went up and joined KTSM, and we share a antenna now. We have our own individual transmitters. And, you know, that is just a debacle up there because of the Weiler Tramway is shut down.
Oh, yeah.
And now our engineers literally have to be mountain climbers to go up there. We had a power outage and a big rainstorm about 3 weeks ago. And, I mean, these guys had to get up at 6 in the morning, daybreak. They can't go up at night. They've got to access it from the KROD site, where you got to use a four-wheel drive, and then you got to go overland for about 30 minutes along the pointed peaks of the Franklin Mountains just to get to the site.
That's precarious.
It's precarious, and it's still, you know, more money going back to legislature. But now, with all the pandemic crisis and the funding supply so short, I just don't know when this is going to be rectified. We still keep it operational, but they have to go overland to get there.
That's not good. That's a crazy thing up there, actually. But hey, we got another caller named is this Joy? Who is this, Andrew? No, that's Joe. I'm sorry, Joe. Got you on the radio. What's up?
Hey, no, yeah, this is Joe, not Joy. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Sorry about that. But Joe, what's up?
Hey, I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I enjoy listening. I listened to Leon, had a book signed by him a long time ago, and I miss him.
Yeah, he's back.
And
he's
I
way
just
back
wanted
there.
To call in. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, hey, that was way back there. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, yeah, I go back when I was a kid. I grew up here with Hal Urich. You guys know him. He had the Bozo show when I was a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had the Puffy, the Wonder Dog, that was on the news. And
Puffy,
I'm friends with John.
Puffy
John's
White
a very
Cloud.
Talented man. He's a good guy.
Puffy White Cloud, I think, or something like that.
Yeah. I went hiking with John and with Kevin a couple times. And we went to the Boot Hill down in New Mexico.
I remember you. That's a out-of-the-way place, the Boot Hill. Wow.
Good God,
We didn't make it to the top because it snowed too much.
That day. Big Hatchet Peak, incredible peak
Hatchet
in the Boot
Peak.
Hill.
Well, Joe, are you still hiking?
I do. I hike all over the Franklins, and I just climbed to the top of the Oregon Needle a few months back with my son, and it's not anything real, you know, technical, but I enjoy it.
Well, there may be a job. Oh. There may be a job open for you at KVIA to go fix the transmitter.
Oh, well, that's Elias. They have a lot of good guys. Elias Ventania is a really good man. Also,
oh, yeah.
He's their their chief engineer, and he's super talented. I know he used to do that kind of stuff.
Oh, he's amazing.
Hey, Jackson, I've got to jump in here, and Melissa,
please.
Climbing to the top of Oregon Needle, that is harrowing.
I imagine
it's not technical. I did it once. And there's a ledge. You've got about a 20-foot ledge that you've got to walk across, and you using your hands and you've got to put your hands and your feet in certain positions on the rock formation, and it is scary. I would never do that again. So Joe, don't say that Oregon Needle is any easy catch. My goodness,
my fingers are sweating thinking about this.
Yeah, no, I went with my son, and he kind of showed me the way to get up there. He's a lot better shape than I am and everything.
Interesting stuff. Well, yeah. Well, Joe, thanks.
Well, anyhow, I enjoy y'all's program.
I've been
listening for years and years, and my children and my grandchildren make fun of me because they tell me that I'm listening to the old history station on Saturday mornings, but I really enjoy it.
Okay, but you ask any of those kids that were they taught their history in school, the answer is no. You know it because you listen to us. That's good. All right. Well, thanks for calling, Joe. You take care.
Thanks.
Thank you. You take care. All right. The thing about the history, though, I mean, I'm not kidding. I grew up in El Paso. I went through 12 years of public school and 1 year UTEP. Nobody told me what the Mission Trail was. Nobody told me who Pancho Villa was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nobody told me any of that stuff.
I mean, it's exciting history, too. That's the bizarre thing. It's
interesting
cool.
stuff.
You keep kids busy.
Both of you guys are from out of town, came here. Once you started figuring out the history, which, of course, you didn't get in school either, but you figured out some of it, I'm guessing, from just listening to things. What do you think of the history here, either one of you? Rick, what do you think?
Go ahead, Kevin.
I have a strong opinion. I have a strong opinion on this. Then I'll let Rick chime in. If you were to rank the most significant events historically in the history of El Paso, of course, this is purely subjective. But Oñate is probably first. The Mexican Revolution, Pancho Villa, is second, and Texas Western winning the national championship is third.
Yeah, that's big. That was big. Rick?
Huge. It's still with us. We talk about that to this day. That's our legacy around the country. It's sports, but that, you know, all black team beating all white Kentucky. Did you see Rupp Arena? There's a big movement now to change the name of the Kentucky basketball arena because of Rupp's racist ties and racist statements he made. I mean, so again, Texas Western remains in the news. Go ahead, Rick.
I was going to say I wasn't around for the Mexican Revolution like Kevin was.
That was Civil War.
Nor Oñate. So I would probably go with the 1966 championship team. Plus, I just like that it resonates. Again, I'm not saying those other aren't huge things, and the Mission Trail is a beautiful part of El Paso as well. But I just, in my mind, the victory still just resonates. I mean, you could literally be watching SportsCenter today and they'll reference it, or you could walk into a complete stranger and they'll say, "Oh, Glory Road," or, you know, that kind of thing. So, for me, that's keeping in mind the fact that it's just incredibly historic. I mean, what a powerful moment in the civil rights history of our country, and it's powerful and still resonates. I think it's number one for me, but I completely understand where Kevin is going. I mean, he had to duck from those cannons and stuff.
but you had an out-of-town coach come to El Paso, figure this out, and recruited guys out of the East Coast and turned this on as a heck of a – he was recruiting players. He didn't care what color they were, but I don't think he went after them because they were black.
No,
but I think he went after them because they could play ball.
Yeah, exactly. He was a businessman, and he knew what he needed to do.
Yeah.
He was a coach. He wanted good guys.
So that turned out well. Now, Rick, you got her just as Haskins was retiring, I guess, right?
Yeah, I probably Kevin's told this story more than I have, but when I first got here, Lou Romano, I was the weekend sportscaster, and Lou Romano needed to take some family time. And so I'm here maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and they run in the sports hall and say, "Rick, we need you down at the Don Haskins Center. Don Haskins is going to retire." I'm like, "Okay, but where's the Don Haskins Center?"
Oh, my.
Got an address? Can you Google it?
I literally had to get directions to the house. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it'd been here a week. I mean, it's
you just started, Rick.
Yeah.
You had just started. I mean, I remember in the newsroom, I told you, you got to get Haskins is retiring. It's you. Where's that? Where's the Haskins?
Who's Haskins?
Back then, you couldn't Google it back then. You couldn't get your phone to tick you there. Oh, yeah.
And quite frankly, one of the selling points of Kevin bringing me to El Paso was the opportunity to, you know, cover and report on a future Hall of Fame coach. And Don Haskins, and to me, for him to suddenly be out the door before I'm barely getting in the door was disappointing. But I still remember not having any time. I will tell you one of my best days ever in El Paso is, I'm not even going to be able to guess the year, but at one point Kevin and I talked about, you know, let's go visit with Coach Haskins, Rick, set something up 101 there in his house, and visit with him, and let's put some stuff in the archives for, you know, we can do some recapturing the 66 championship story. And then also have something on tape, quite frankly, if there was ever a health issue with them, we'd have something in the archives that was more current. So I went over there with a photographer. I set it up with Coach Haskins. I went over there. And again, at this point, I only knew him as a handshake in the pregame meal of the UTEP basketball games, things like that. And so I went over there, and I found he was a Channel 7 viewer at the time. I don't blame him. And so we sit down there, and we have this great conversation. We interview him. The photographer's there. We probably get about an hour's worth of interview talking about everything under the sun. And so I start to let myself out, and the photographer's leaving. He's like, him and Mary say, you don't have to leave. You want to stick around? Would you like another soda or another glass of water and just hang out a little bit? And I was like, of course I would love to. And so, you know, the photographer left, and I sat there for another 2 hours, and he just shared story after story.
Oh,
and it honestly was one of the best days. I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. It was one of my best days ever in El Paso. I remember my wife was out of town, so I wasn't getting, you know, called home, or I didn't have any honeydews to do. And so I just sat there, and we just talked. He told me all kinds of stories about the Sports Illustrated lawsuit and how Lou Henson negatively recruited on the back of the 66 team, and all kinds of insight and anecdotes that just, again, made my day. So I didn't have the pleasure of covering Don Haskins, but I'll never forget that day for the rest of my life.
Oh, that's a big one. It is. Gentlemen, we got to take another break here. You got Kevin Lovell here, Rick Cabrera talking KVIA history, plus in general some history. If you got some other thoughts.
Well, I got some sports history on Rick Cabrera. I'm going to talk to him
about.
We'll
get to that in a second. But taking a break
I'm scared.
Yes, you should be. We got one line open here if you want, because these guys are on 2 out of 3. But we'll catch up with you on this number if you want to call us.
Call us at 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
A grand in your hand.
That would help out a ton.
Winner.
Amazing.
After winner.
This will be very helpful.
After winner.
Definitely keep me going until I hopefully go back to work soon.
You could be next.
This helps a lot.
Your chance to win $1,000 is coming up. Brought to you by Comfort Keepers. In life, you learn an important message. Your age doesn't define you. You do. Comfort Keepers. Elevating the human spirit. ComfortKeepers.com.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Powerball and Mega Millions jackpots are high, and you can't win if you don't play. But who wants to wait in line for a ticket? At Lottery.com, you can skip the line and play your favorite lottery games right from your phone. Never lose a ticket and never miss a jackpot. The Lottery.com app is free, and you can cash out your winnings anytime. In just 2 taps, you could win the next multi-million dollar jackpot. Search for Lottery.com in the App Store or go to Lottery.com to learn more. Now sit back, relax, and play, and get some time back in your day. That's what we call winning together. This message was brought to you by Lottery.com. Please play responsibly.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. And MLS number
3030. I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent, like Prudential and Mutual of Omaha, and found Ray who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-589-5599. That's 800-589-5599. 800-589-5599. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
TSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got the guys from KVIA on hold for a moment. They'll be back, but I've got to tell you a couple of things real quick. Next week, August the 1st, The Rock Duo. Dr. Eric Kappas, a geologist, and Jim Tolbert, director of Celebration of Our Mountains. They will talk rocks and events. The events are coming up this fall for hikes and field trips all over the region to see the geology in person, and I think they can still do that. You know, it's weird.
Yeah, get up. There's a lot of stuff.
Well, it depends on what the government allows you to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, August the 8th, we got the Wigwam Museum coming on. They're going to talk about, they're on San Antonio Street. Bonnie Wattis will be here. And she'll talk about the wigwam, what's going on down there. A very unusual, interesting group of things that they have assembled in the old wigwam. And the wigwam has got incredible history.
Oh, yeah, it's something else.
And John Wesley Hardin owned part of it for one point.
Yeah, and they got displays and such. And it's
amazing.
Very interesting.
You
got to
see it, and we'll talk about it on the radio on August the 8th. And second hour of that week, Patricia Kidney talking about John Wesley Hardin's demise in August of 1895. And there may not be an event.
No, we're not doing the John Wesley Hardin event this year. It's, like I said, everything's so crazy. It's so difficult to put together the last time, so we're just...
She'll talk about it anyway. August the 15th, El Paso First Lady, Dare Margot, has written a book about the Lydia Patterson Institute, and she'll be on the program to explain that history. What do you got?
Well, I just want to make a point. We're going to be at Pepe's today because they were off for 2 weeks, so we're going to go back there and welcome them back and have some wonderful Mexican food, and New Mexican food, and we'd love for everybody to come join us up there.
New Mexican food.
New Mexican.
We got the guys back on the line, back on the phone. We got Kevin and Rick. Guys, think about some sports. Melissa had a question for you, right?
I actually have a little story I'd like to ask. Kevin wrote this one up, and that's where I found it, but it was about when Bram Watkins, who was KDBC general manager, gave you a call about beating KVIA finally. And come to find out, Rick and in his live truck and his crew and another live truck from KDBC kind of had a little bit of a race going on.
Oh, Mr. Cabrera. We just named him. Rick is replacing a... Let me set it up, and then you can tell how it came about, Rick. But Rick, we just had signed Rick to a new deal. He is going to replace the legendary, the one and only Gary Warner.
Oh, my.
And so Rick is going to come in and attempt, well, nobody can fill Gary's shoes, but Rick could do it in a different way, and he brings many attributes, a different style of reporter in many ways than Gary, but Gary was, of course, the legendary Gary Warner. But nevertheless, Rick then decides, I guess, Rick, was this in the interim, right before or right after you had taken? I guess it's right after you had taken the position.
It's about 2 months before I'm officially replacing Gary, but it's already been announced. And at this point, you're having me report for the 10 o'clock news. And I think I was anchoring the 5 as kind of a transition into taking over for Gary. This was like a six-month transition window.
All right. So you went to the one of the Speedway tracks. Tell us about it.
Well, let's start with the fact that if I was actually behind the wheel, we would have won. So let's just start.
You would have caught the tree lights, right?
So here's what happened. So there was a story, or pardon me, there was a deadly car accident on I-10 days earlier. A couple of knuckleheads were racing,
and one of them flipped the car and unfortunately, tragically died while racing on I-10. So the story I was tasked with covering was, hey, El Pasoans, you can take your souped-up car and you can drag race safely here at this raceway in far east El Paso. And I apologize, I don't remember the name, but it was a strip, and the idea was to go out there and tell people, hey, you know, there's safe alternatives out there. So I didn't know this, but once you get up by the starting line, which is where we were, and there was a snake of cars waiting to get onto the drag strip and go. So once we were done with our interviews, we did the 10 o'clock live shot. I tell the gentleman in charge, I said, hey, we need to go. How do we get out of here? He's like, well, that's the exit, too. And he's like, we don't really have, like, an exit, and those cars are all lined up, so you'd have to wait for all the cars to go through the drag strip or just take the drag strip. And so at that point, Channel 4 is going to leave as well, and we kind of look at each other, and we're like, ah, what the hell? And so we had some fun with it. But again, quite frankly, the live trucks have what's that thing called that keeps them from going above a certain amount of speed or whatever?
A governor.
Speed. Governor, yeah.
And, governor.
Yeah, and secondly, I was just relieved that I had survived the day. It had been a stressful day to get on the air. We barely got on the air that day. We had some issues with our live truck.
So you're racing,
and I was
you're racing
relieved
channel,
that we got the story filed.
You're racing Channel 4 down the drag strip?
Yeah, they're big live trucks.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, again, so what happens is we end up both there, and we're both ready to leave, and the guy says, if you really want to get out of here, the quickest way is to take the drag strip. And so, at the end, we just kind of look at each other. I remember kind of looking across at, all right, what the heck, let's just do it, just for some laughs and giggles. And again, pardon my ignorance, I just didn't see the way this was going to play out. And again, I know it went international in some ways.
Yes.
And so it was just a stupid decision on my part. I wasn't the driver, but I certainly facilitated it. And Kevin can vouch for the fact that I tried to take all the blame. I know the driver of the live truck who will remain unnamed. I know he was obviously in some trouble as well. And, you know, I tried my best to fall on the sword because I felt like I was the one in charge and I should have taken full, and I did take full responsibility. But quite frankly, when Kevin called me into his office Monday morning and said, we need to talk about the drag racing, I was like, oh, you liked my story? He's like, no, you knucklehead. Like, what are you talking? Like, this is all over the news. Like, this is blowing up. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking. Like, I was that. Pardon my ignorance, but I was that oblivious at the time.
Well, even Anderson Cooper showed it on CNN. That's how, you know, mm-hmm. how big a thing it was.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's classic. Oh, Melissa, you are really uncovering some gems.
Well, you wrote the story back in 2008. That's where I found it. I'd love to do research, and so that
well,
was
now,
just
if
a
you,
fun
if
story.
If the two live trucks were leaving, who had the footage of the race? Ah, the third camera came from...
Oh, people there. Yeah, people
oh
there.
Yeah.
Got their cameras out, I think.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Well, I'm sure they had cameras, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Another story...
I think it's still on YouTube if you want to enjoy it.
Oh, my God.
It is, unfortunately. It is.
Is it?
The history of news in El Paso. There's a bizarre one. Gentlemen, another break here. I got to come back and talk about El Paso Inc. Oh, we're going to read a KVIA promo. Listen to that.
Ooh.
We'll do that in a minute here. But if you can call us, we got a couple lines open. Here.
Might get a job.
You never know. Climb the mountain for Kevin. He needs the hikers.
Yeah, right. What? There you go. Wait, I've been falling down. Yeah, that'd be
what's
good.
What's the number?
The number is 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
You know, I used to think that Medicare was one big complex mystery. What's covered? What's not? Then I made one phone call to United Healthcare and got the answers I needed. In one call, I learned I could combine my Medicare coverage into a single plan for little or no extra money. With the AARP Medicare Advantage Plan from United Healthcare, I get more coverage than original Medicare. My prescription drugs are included, plus other great benefits like dental and 24/7 virtual doctor visits with zero copays. Plus, it's the only plan with the AARP name. So if you are turning 65 or have questions about the mysteries of Medicare, make that one call to United Healthcare at 1-855-283-2895. That's 1-855-283-2895. or go to getuhcmedicaretoday.com.
Paid actor portrayal. Benefits and availability may vary by plan and location. United Healthcare Insurance Company pays royalty fees to AARP for the use of its intellectual property. AARP and its affiliates are not insurers. AARP does not employ or endorse agents, producers, or brokers.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a podcast from the world's smartest and funniest comics and writers. It gets you caught up on the news without grinding you down.
There's so many like simultaneous threads of history that I feel like are coming together at once that I'm like, which one am I going to
pick? Yeah, let's live through all the history at once.
It sounds like a TikTok challenge. Live through all the history at once challenge.
Twice a day, they tell you everything you need to know about American culture without crushing your soul. Listen to The Daily Zeitgeist on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-276-1640. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-276-1640. That's 800-276-1640. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-276-1640. 800-276-1640.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
It is time to tell you what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.
Festival organizers are plowing ahead with the annual Classic Film Celebration, but it'll look different this year because of COVID-19. Get ready for drive-ins, streamings, and more.
Also in the ink, UTEP is re-imaging its MBA programs. College leaders say the changes will make the programs more cost-effective and time-efficient for working students.
El Paso saw its second month of job gains after massive losses in April, but a spike in coronavirus cases may threaten to derail the fragile economy recovery.
Celebrating its 25th year, El Paso Inc. is available for home or business delivery.
Go to order your copy of El Paso Inc. Go online to ElPasoInc.com.
It's a name synonymous with online shopping. Trillion-dollar giant Amazon is coming to El Paso, bringing 750 jobs. Starting pay for those jobs is around $40,000. That's each a year, not just all together.
Yeah.
Each a year. And that Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, host Saul Sines talks to Borderplex Alliance CEO Joe Barella to find out what it took to get Amazon to come to the borderland.
Saul also talks to the president of the Greater El Paso Association of Realtors to find out how this will impact the home and commercial property in the area where the Amazon Fulfillment Center will eventually open its doors. ABC 7 Extra airs Sunday nights after ABC 7 at 10.
Ta-da! See,
ta-da.
Kevin, that's how we do this.
Ta-da.
But you've heard us before. Kevin?
Oh, yes.
And I thank you for the trade-out, because you guys talk about us on your program on Saturday mornings.
Yes, absolutely. I like the partnership. We have partnership with you and El Paso Inc., and it's well worth it. And, listening to that promo, Extra is something I'm very proud of. It's something that we've had at KVIA for some 20 years or more. There was a stretch where we had it every night from 10:35 to 11:05 with Stephanie Townsend Ayala and Roger Smith co-hosted. And it is so challenging because we wanted live guests every night. And you can analyze the El Paso television landscape, and there is no program like Extra. It's the only program of its ilk that has in-depth interviews, goes deep into a subject, and the Amazon is a perfect example.
Yeah.
We do it now once a week on Sundays. However, very recently, we incorporated Extra into our 10 o'clock weekday newscast. We brought Soul Signs on to the 10 o'clock team with Stephanie Valle and Eric Elkin, and now we go deep into an issue in our 10 o'clock news, a daily issue, as part of our 35-minute newscast. So Extra is a component example of some of the things that ABC7 has done to lead the way in the marketplace.
You make up good stuff, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you really do.
I don't think he has to.
No, I mean, it works. So, hey, yeah. We got some callers for you guys. Rick Cabrera is the other guy on the phone now. You still there, Rick?
I am here.
We haven't dropped you off, and you haven't gotten too bored. You didn't go play golf or something? That's good.
I'm thoroughly enjoying this, but golf is calling my name.
Okay. Well, you have we'll let you go in about 20 minutes. And otherwise, Kevin, if you want to meet us out at Pepe's, that's where we're going. But
I'll try to do that. I'll talk to the wife. See if that works.
Oh,
yeah. Come
see, if, see if we can get to we got Raul on the radio. Hey, Raul, good morning. What's up?
Good morning. Hey, you guys were talking about some of the most historically significant events in El Paso's history, obviously. Juan de Oñate and the Mexican Revolution. Somebody mentioned UTEP winning the national championship. Here's two more that I think are really, really important. One, again, is the winning of Raymond Tejeda, the first Mexican-American mayor in El Paso's history. There's been a book written about it quite some time ago by a guy named Mario T. Garcia, who actually got his undergraduate degree from UTEP and is a professor, I think, at UC Santa Barbara. That would be neat if you guys could get a hold of him and get a, you know, some kind of hookup about that. The other one I think is a really big thing, and I don't know who the figures involved in this were. I heard one of them may have been our former mayor, Raymond Tejeda, is when El Paso switched over from an at-large election slate for the mayor to the single-member districts, which really changed the complexion of the city council in a big way. I think that would be a neat thing to look into also.
And what was the first one again? Restate the first one.
Making of a Mexican-American mayor, Raymond T. Tejeda, by Mario T. Garcia.
Okay, yeah, Tejeda. No, that was a big deal. And he was
he was on the show, wasn't he?
I don't remember. Maybe so. But Tejeda went on to become ambassador, I believe. Didn't Kennedy appoint him to something?
Yeah, he had a bunch of firsts along those lines, too.
Oh, yeah, and it was big. All right, well, thank you for your info there. Appreciate
you
calling.
You bet.
You take a read.
Thank you.
You take a read. Also, we got somebody calling up named Carlos. Morning, Carlos. What's up? Carlos, turn off your radio, Carlos. Earth to Carlos, turn off your radio. Hello, Carlos.
Good morning.
Morning, Carlos.
We got you now, dude. What's up?
Well, okay. All righty.
You can't listen to the radio.
Great show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I got a couple of questions. Where was the studio where Steve Krausman used to have his dances?
Right there at KVIA.
Oh,
but
okay.
Where was the original?
Well, now, they may have been down on Delta originally. I tuned into it in 1970.
Oh.
And in 1970, it was in the current KVIA news studio.
But in the mid-60s, he was at Delta?
He must have been.
Yes.
Okay. Another question. As a kid, I'm talking like the early 60s, they used to have I'm almost sure it was Channel 4, PROD. And there was this guy, he had cartoons in the afternoon. And he used to say, 1, 2, 3, Daffy Fuddlebug.
Daffy Fuddlebug. That was Marlon Haynes. Marlon the Magician. Marlon the Magician.
Oh,
remember that?
Yeah. Yes, sir, yeah.
And there, another one was Pete the Projectionist. Do you remember him?
Okay, Marlon Haynes, yes. A great show as a kid.
Pete the Projectionist was really Hal Urich.
Yes. All right, good show.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I've got another call coming in on two there, looks like. The whole idea of El Paso history is fascinating. What other stories, Rick, what have we not talked about? Something maybe that you encountered since you got here that sticks out of your mind as something that should be noted, and not necessarily rated 1, 2, or 3, but something big. I mean, we've talked about the floods, the stacks coming down. That was obviously a big when the stacks came down. That to me was just nuts. Did you ever look back behind us? Because you and I were standing there together. Did you ever look back behind us at the people on the hills?
Yeah, I remember they were all up there set up with their coffee and their breakfast. And
yeah.
We did an event out of it.
The hills,
I remember that. That was
hills
that
were
was
alive.
Big.
The hills were full of people.
Yeah,
I mean, it was just amazing how many people were up there. And I got to tell you, that's another reason to thank KVA. Not only did we get the cameras live through your microwave up to your station, and you recorded a couple of them for our documentary, you put them on the air, but also I got the footage from KVA. I had 20 cameras to cut from to edit that piece. I used 12. And I had people coming out of nowhere calling me up and saying, I shot this. You want the footage? I'll meet you at the post office. I'll be wearing a red shirt. Like, I mean, I didn't know who the hell these people were, but I took their footage and I put some of them in the documentary. That was really a nutty event.
You know, Jackson, what was so amazing, which you haven't noted, but I'm sure you're aware of, is the two most significant demolitions in the history of El Paso occurred one day apart.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
City Hall was, well, correct me, that was Saturday and ASARCO was Sunday, is that correct?
No, ASARCO was Saturday.
Other way around.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, when we get to Sunday, Rick Cabrera was with me out there to ASARCO, and on Sunday I'm watching it on TV. There's poor Rick down there. What were you on, Main Street or something? And all of a sudden, the City Hall goes down, and here comes the blast of crap coming down the street right at you.
where the library is now, they're on that road, and it was coming my way. And I remember picking up some of the fiberglass and people calling me, put it down, don't touch that, you know, all this kind of stuff. I was like, well, I didn't know what I was looking at, you know. But it was an intense event, without a doubt.
It was a great shot of you.
Demolition weekend.
Well, yeah, it was the same weekend. It was a great shot of you being blown away by an explosion. and there were so many jokes about that. I mean, was the mayor still in his office when it happened? That kind of thing.
That place was good. Hey, I want to get to your thing about a couple things I thought you missed and again, we probably don't have time to elaborate on them, so I'll just kind of list them here real quick. But I think about freeze of 2011, the February freeze of 2011. That always is one that stuck out with me during my tenure as a newscaster. I think the domestic partner benefits vote of 7-1 in 2009, when we decided as a city to give benefits to unmarried partners. And then the big sports one for me, one of the big ones, well, and I'm going to touch on one more news one here real quick, and that's Lorenzo Garcia being thrown in jail for the scandal at EPISD, where the TEA, for the first time in the history of the state, came in and blew out the elected school board and replaced them with Mayor Margo and his staff, which led to the hiring of my brother, but that's not why I think it's newsworthy.
Well, no.
And then the sports one, the one that always hit me, is in 2000, Gary Nord, his first season as head coach, beat Rice at the Sun Bowl to clinch their first and only WAC football title, and they pulled down the goalpost, and Kevin made the decision to go late and carry on the newscast. So the newscast ends at 10:35 on a Saturday. We decided to continue live, and I'm interviewing Rocky Pettis and Lee Mays on this uplift on this platform right by the goalpost, and we had to dodge the goalpost because they were coming our way during that live newscast.
Oh, it's coming down on top of you.
10:35.
Oh, my. That's bizarre. Yeah.
You know, they're planning
a 20-year
reunion.
What?
They're planning a 20-year reunion, of course, but the football season's a little bit in jeopardy, but they're trying to bring this to the 20th anniversary of that team. The Sun Bowl was sold out. It was rocking. But I tell you, I've got a sports mind like Rick, and I'm going to go back a few years before that. In 1985, UTEP beat BYU in football. That is the greatest upset in the history of college sports. BYU was the defending national football champion. Champions. UTEP won one game the whole year.
That game.
And they beat the defending national champions in one of the most incredible upsets, and they also tore down the goalpost there, and we called it the Minor Miracle, and I did interviews. Bill Young, Y-U-N-G, was the coach of UTEP, and it was just beyond belief that the Miners would win that game.
That's amazing. Gentlemen, we got to take another break here. We got a couple of callers on hold. Stay there, guys. We'll get to you in a minute. But let's don't give out the number again. Look at Facebook. How many people on Facebook have seen our 6, promo?
6,115 people.
6,000.
Yeah, a lot of shares and a lot of comments. So
you guys' faces are
all over the place.
All over the world now. So
that's
there you
a
go.
Scary thought.
If they don't, they know what Rick looks like, but now they know what Kevin looks like. So there. All right, Andrew. Hey, hit it. We'll be back in a moment.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Need to spruce up your space? Then check out Souder.com for a wide selection of American-made furniture. And to make it even better, everything is delivered right to your door with free shipping. Visit them at Souder.com. That's Souder.com.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got a lot going on here. Speaker coming up in conversations on the Camino Real, September the 6th at 4 p.m. The Honorable Consul of Spain, Martha Vetta, talking about the Blue Nun. Oh, bizarre story. That's going to be down there in San Elizario. And if you want to see details on that, call up the History Museum. It's the San Elizario Genealogy and Historical Society. And you got Keystone's open?
Keystone's open. We're open from 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. every day except Monday. And we're also performing what we call our sweet and petite weddings that are inexpensive wedding events at Keystone. There, of course, we're spacing people out to keep it healthy. But it's a limited amount of people that could be married there. So if you're interested in having a wedding service there or a small gathering, call 584-0563 and we'll get you hooked up.
Very good. We got the guys on on Kevin Lovell, Rick Cabrera. You guys are still here, right?
We got yes.
Well, guess who's joining us here? This is Brian Kanoff. Hey, Brian, good morning.
All right.
Good morning, everybody. It sure is nice to listen to you guys. I'm in the putting a door on the back of my studio, and I've got you on the radio here.
Oh, cool.
Great. How's my
well? I'd like to tell you that, you know, I've been listening to all these events, and I was present and photographing pretty much all of them.
Yes.
A few exceptions, and I'd like to add one. This is my 53rd year as a working photojournalist. I turned pro in 67. But in 1968, in December, I think it was the 13th, I photographed LBJ giving the chamazal away on top of the bridge with President Ordaz on it.
Well, that was crowded. Man, I've seen the pictures. Was that a still picture you took up there?
Yes, I shot. I still have a few slides. I don't have everything. I don't know. You know, as things happen, you know, you move, things get this misplaced. But I do have a few Kodachromes from that day.
Interesting.
And lots and lots of memories. But I was listening to you about the demolition, the consecutive days demolition of Arco Towers, plural. I mean, smokestacks, plural. And then City Hall. I mean, what a metaphor, blowing up City Hall. I did the still photography of a Sarco from a Cessna, and I did the City Hall from a helicopter. Stanley Jobe flew me in one of his helicopters, so I was able to photograph that and do stills of that.
So you've seen a lot of interesting history yourself. That's great.
Yeah, it's really neat, you know, just kind of like a little window, kind of, you know. Of course, I was the Sun Bowl photographer for 48 years.
So, you've seen a lot of history.
Sun Bowl football. Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. That's cool.
I'm listening in, and I think it's wonderful for you guys on a weekly basis to avail everybody of your expertise. I'm in a historical commissioner. Mm-hmm. And whenever I got a chance this time of day on a Saturday, whatever I'm doing, like today, installing a door, I try to listen. I don't call in much, but we're all out here and we're pulling for you.
Well,
thank
you, kind of.
Thanks
also,
so much, Brian.
You can hear us again if you wish on ephistory.com. We archive these shows, full shows. All right, thanks a lot. Take care, Brian.
Thanks.
Good to
hey,
talk
if
to
I
you.
Could, Jackson, Melissa, yeah. I want to echo.
Sure.
And whenever I possibly can, and when I'm in town and even out of town, you can listen, of course, online. But this is a very important show. You all are doing something original and necessary and informative, and I salute you for what you offer in preserving history in El Paso.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And
it's fun.
And we got to thank KTSM management for keeping
us
on here. Because we've asked throughout the iHeart system, we've asked them, where is another show like this? And they can't name one. And we're grandfathered in from basically the Leon Metz days. When he took off, we stepped in and kept going. And we've sort of turned it into what it is. And it is unusual, and we thank you for doing it. But El Paso's got so much great history. This is actually pretty easy.
Yeah.
And just getting you guys to comment on what you've seen. We do have another caller here, and we'll put him on the radio now. Leo, what is up with you, Leo?
Well, how do you do? One of the more important events that ever happened, the first hijacking in the United States happened
here.
Continental Airlines plane.
That was a biggie. It really
that
was.
That was August 3rd of 61. A few months later, a big thing happened to the west side of El Paso.
And that?
That transformer you were talking about allowed the west side to get KELP-TV, which it had never gotten before. So we finally got to see the Mickey Mouse show.
Well, the transmitter was originally down on Delta, I believe. And then when they put it up on the mountain, that's when you could get it on the west side.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Because the television is line of sight. You have to see the TV antenna with your antenna. Otherwise, you're not going to get the picture pretty much. And that cable's changed all that. But then that was how it went. All right, Leo, thank you for that. Take care.
Thank you.
Hey Jackson.
Yes, sir.
Hijacking, that happened the day that Don Haskins was moving his family to El Paso.
Oh, my. Really?
Yeah. Amazing.
Have you moved me?
And you know how that hijacking ended, right?
Tell me, remind me.
The police ran out on the runway and shot the tires out of the airplane.
Yeah, they used up all their bullets.
They blew the heck out of the tires, and the plane couldn't move.
That was exciting.
And so the guy said, I guess I better give up. So he gave up. So, I mean, that was, that's
it was a father and son.
Yeah, that was a West Texas ending to a hijacking. Yeah, we're going to go blow up the tires on your airplane.
Yeah, well, the funny thing is the pilot of that plane also was the first hijacked pilot ever down in South America when he was a pilot down there.
So this was his second.
He was his second.
don't fly with that guy.
Yeah, I know.
Well, gentlemen, we are about out of time here. Any summary from either Rick? Any thoughts, last thoughts? I really thank you guys for joining us today because we do like to hear El Paso history from people who have seen it, and you guys have certainly seen quite a bit. And then you commented on stuff you haven't seen. So, Rick, what are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I just want to thank you guys for the opportunity. Thank you, Melissa, and Jackson and Andrew for helping back. Behind the scenes as well. I appreciate the opportunity. This is my home. Again, I've been here now more than 20 years, and I'm not exactly a history buff when it comes to some of the things you guys have discussed, but this is my home. I love this community. I used to joke with people when I got here, they didn't have a Starbucks, and we've come a long way. So, I didn't touch on downtown revitalization. I think is an exciting thing. I work downtown now, and it's exciting to see what's going on down there, but again, I just want to thank you guys for putting the show together, for the efforts you guys make. Thank you both for inviting me and letting me be a part of it. I've really enjoyed it. It brought back a lot of great, great memories. And another reminder of why I'm so proud to call El Paso home and why I've invested in this community for the last 20-plus years. And for as long as I can imagine, I foresee it being my home, and I consider it my hometown now. And I'm not a native, but El Paso is in my heart and will always be.
Well, you've been here 10 years.
Like you are keeping that history alive.
If you've been here 10 years, we declare you a native.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's there.
I'm native now.
Oh,
too,
yeah.
So,
Melissa's
yeah.
Three times over.
Yeah.
Kevin, thank you for joining us. We're about out of time, but appreciate you guys doing this. We'll get together again sometime want to, and we'll pull some more stunts on the radio. What do you think?
That sounds
absolutely
good.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to come back next week and do this all over again with the Rock Guys. We're talking about geology. The geology of El Paso is another whole story of history we haven't touched on today, but it'll happen next week.
Yes, different type of rock and roll.
Oh, my God, is it ever. And again, thank you guys for joining us. Appreciate that. Melissa,
what?
Be back next week?
Yes, I'll be back next week, and I'll be at Pepe's this afternoon.
Pepe's, see you guys there. Thanks a lot. Take her easy.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Monterey Asset Management, Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.
iHeartRadio's new podcast, Forgotten, Women of Juarez.